Morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship service this morning. And a special welcome to John and Maureen Buchanan for Hopeman, who need no introduction. And we thank John very much for agreeing to come down and minister today. And he's also with us next Sunday morning as well. There's tea following the service this morning, so please do stay behind in the back hall for tea. Announcements this week, there is children's meeting tomorrow at 6:30. Is there knitting nutter tomorrow on? What's it, foot time? 2:00. The Zoom prayer meeting at 7:30 on Wednesday night. And I'm hoping to resurrect the fitness and fellowship, which is kind of otherwise known as badminton and table tennis and anything else, on a Thursday night. This Thursday, but didn't be put off if you didn't like badminton and table tennis, because if there's decent nights, again, some folk are planning to go out walking, and I seriously need to go out walking. I think I got a dog, Stephen, but to force me out, but I really need to get out walking. So, I mean, Thursday night doesn't need to be badminton and table tennis in the back hall, though it could be. It could also be going out for a walk around the town and in a bonny night, as long as it's no weather like this, again. So more about that to follow in the coming weeks. Now, thanks to everybody who signed the Browns electronic card. Again, it's a bit of a challenge to work this technology, and apologies if I didn't get some of you to kind of, you know, I did scan in some handwritten notes, but I could have probably made it a bit easier for folk to do. But anyway, they really appreciated the electronic card, and this email that got back was a note of thanks for the Browns when they received the e-card in the middle of December. So, special note for the Brown family, this is such a beautiful gesture as a family. We will treasure this as we too remember you all fondly. In these days of Zoom, WhatsApp, etc., it would be wonderful to keep in touch. All our love, the Bermuda Browns. And we will remember the Browns very much and their new church in Cooperstown, North Dakota. I think they are about 6 hours behind, so Robbie is due to preach this afternoon sometime our time, or 10:15 in the morning their time. So do remember Robbie and Michelle and the Bairns. And I've got some photos for those that are now on the WhatsApp and stuff. If you bring up the next slide. So it was they posted some photos in the FBC WhatsApp. Yeah, they're looking pretty happy there. They're obviously getting chauffeur driven from one end of the airport to the other, presumably. I'm not sure if the airport that is, unless it says. I did actually notice that Alexander Smith is just behind there, sitting in the coffee, drinking a cup of coffee. How do you manage that, Alexander? It looks like you anyway. You're obviously an international traveller as well, Alexander. so it was lovely, James Patterson did say that they had only one flight, and one of the flights are from England that particular day, so I'm glad they actually weren't disrupted by flight times and stuff. The next one, that's their house. I always kent Robbie was destined for the White House. I just hope he gets as much joy lighting a fire as I did in the morning now. And the next slide, yeah, it was lovely. That's a lovely welcome there for Cornerstone Community Church. And we'll remember their church family in prayer as well. And the next one, that was outside their house, and apparently Robbie said they lasted about 5 minutes outside in -23°C. So I'm not sure if it's like the wind chill factor is in North Dakota, but it feels like -23 outside a day, doesn't it, Ken? So yeah, you need your shemits on a day and your long drawers and whatever else, but we'll praise the Lord anyway for the opportunity to come and praise the Lord today. And also remember our dear brothers and sisters in the Lord in North Dakota, and obviously the Brown family as well. I think that's all the announcements, and so thank you, John and Morn, for your willingness to come, and I'll hand over to John now. Thank you. Remember a tea following the service. Thanks.
Thank you, Norman, for your warm words of welcome this morning. I was somewhat intrigued by the Bermuda Browns, and I was thinking to myself, I was sitting there, well, you'll not be in your Bermuda shorts today, that's for sure. And then when he shows these pictures, they definitely are not be in their shorts and T-shirts today. So it'd be gay cold over there. However, the Lord has his purpose and plan in all of these things, and we give him thanks. The prophet wrote the words, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Join me this morning as we lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving to our God and Father for his faithfulness to us as his people, as we sing our opening hymn, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided.
Thank you.
good singing this morning. It's lovely to hear you sing together. Let's join our hearts as we approach God in prayer this morning. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we come this morning with hearts that are filled with thankfulness to you for your love and your mercy toward each one of us. As we have gathered together this morning, Father, we've reflected in our opening song of praise of just how faithful you have been to us as your children, in leading us and guiding us and directing us. And we want to thank you for the fullness and the richness of your provision for our every needs, for our life and for our living, for our witness and testimony. But most of all this morning, Lord God, we want to thank you for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus, the one in whom our hearts are united because of the sacrifice that he made at Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, it is in his name that we draw near with confidence to you this morning, knowing that you will not turn us away, that as we draw near to you in our prayer time this morning and in our hour of worship together, Father, we thank you for the promise that you will draw near to us. And in the words of the hymn writer, we thank you this morning that you are here, that you, Lord God, are here in our midst and that to bless us as your people. And so we ask, Lord, that you speak to us in the quietness of the moments that follow and into the stillness of our own hearts and beings. Would you quieten us so that we might hear your voice speaking to us? Father, we want to give you thanks and praise for bringing us together this morning and for that measure of health and strength that you have given to each one of us that has enabled us to be here. We thank you, Father God, for the desire that you put within our hearts to join together with our brothers and sisters to worship you and to praise you. We want to thank you this morning, Heavenly Father, for your precious word, a word that is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. A word that is given to us for our comfort, for our strength, and for our enabling. That word of God that will never fail. Though earth may fail, heaven and earth itself, your word will remain forever, and we thank and praise you for it. We want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for each other this morning, and for the comfort and encouragement that we receive from one another. And we would not be unmindful, as we've been reminded this morning, of Pastor Robbie and his family. And we ask, especially at this time, you draw near to them in a special way as they seek to settle into the new ministry and to the new home and church family that you have led them to. We pray especially for the children, that they would find it easy to adapt to the changes that will occur, not only in their surroundings, but in their education and their friendships. And Lord, we pray that you will be everything to Robbie in this new ministry, as we give you thanks for his faithful exposition of your word here in Fraserburgh. Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless him as he remains faithful to his call in you. Again, Father, we would not be unmindful of this town of ours. We pray for Fraserburgh this morning and for the many people, the many men, women, and young people. We just ask, Lord God, that you would be moving in their hearts and minds at this particular time and season. We realize how far we've gone from days gone past, Lord, and how that the desire to come to a place of worship, how the interest in the things of yourself has grown dim over the years. But we remember how you moved in the past, and we pray, Father, that you would do it again and that you would revive the hearts of those who have grown cold in their love and affection for you, and that you would break into those hearts that are hardened and soften them, we pray, and bring them under the conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Remember us as a nation and people at this time. We pray that you would grant wisdom to those in leadership and authority, Father, that they may be guided and directed by you, even unconsciously, in order that your will would be done. Father, we think of the great needs that there are in our world, the homelessness that exists, the hunger, the wars, the strife throughout the world at this time. And Father, we confess that sometimes these things are far beyond our understanding and reasoning. But we know, O God, that you are the one who is Lord God omnipotent, who rules and reigns over all your creation. And so we ask, Father, that you bless and work in such a way as to bring relief and comfort and peace. Remember the persecuted church, we pray, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering because of their faith in you. Strengthen them physically, we pray, to withstand the trials. Strengthen them spiritually, we pray, in order that their witness may be bold and bright and clear and shining. So, Father, as we come together, we realize there's much that we owe to you. And we say thank you this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for being the God that you are. Thank you for being our Father. Speak to us now, we pray, as we wait, Father, in your presence. And may all that's said and done this morning be to your glory. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. I'm going to sing that hymn that I quoted. My heart is filled with thankfulness. If you feel like standing, please do. But if you prefer to sit, then just please remain seated as we sing through My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. Thank you to the guys at the back for all that they've done in the PowerPoint presentation, and to Anne for playing for us this morning. I want to share with you as we go through our service today, hopefully something of encouragement, but something of challenge. And I want to leave three verses with you as verses that you might choose to take and as you lead into a fresh new year, and indeed almost into a new period of ministry here in the church. The first verse that I want to leave with you is found in the reading that we're going to turn to it from Psalm 46. Psalm 46, a very, very well-known psalm to many of us. And I'm reading this morning from the New International NIV this morning. Psalm 46, beginning at the first verse, and here's the key verse that I would ask you to consider. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Now, Norman sent me a message last night, and he said, I've told Anne that you'll give her the music you're going to sing in the morning. I wasn't thinking along those lines, brother, but we've resurrected a golden oldie for you, and I trust that it'll bless your heart as it does mine. I passed the music to Anne, and she told me this morning it's one of her favourites, which happens to be one of my favourites too. Thank you, Anne.
Oftimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem, just go to him in prayer, it will be worth life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, we'll lay our burden down, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
I was only going to do two verses, and Anne said, why not three? And then I thought there when I was saying, well, she did say it was her favourite, so maybe I better keep in with her. Okay. But I hope that encourages you, as it always does me. You know, for many of us, we've come too far to ever look back, and it will be worth it all just to see His face. Yeah? We don't know what lies before us, but we can always trust Him. And that's our next hymn this morning. I do not know what lies ahead. Okay, and rise to sing if you feel able. Thank you, Anne. the future is an unattractive trail, an unattractive way with many complex twists and turns. Those appealing activities, those some of those things that we really enjoy doing, they can be dangerous or become dangerous detours that lead us away from the Lord. Encouraging philosophies, the modern way of thinking, these self-help things, these are often paths that end more in muddled thinking rather than in clarity for those concerned. Even the very best walks, the best ways that we plan, aren't always filled like sunshine meadows or quiet and peaceful riverside walks. So very often for us, we journey over rugged terrain that sometimes will even lead us through dark valleys. Sometimes we feel that we're struggling against all odds just to keep going, just to face the challenges of living the life that we're called to live. The only sure way that we have of knowing that we're following the right way, walking in the right path, if you like, is to follow the one who knows the way. No matter what we may experience or feel, there is one certainty that brings unqualified assurance and hope to each one of us this morning. And that is the very basic knowledge that God is in control. Nothing takes him by surprise. Our God, my God, your Heavenly Father, is never ever caught out by the unexpected. As his children, you and I know full well the truth of the words that the Apostle Paul wrote, to know that he, our God, loves us and is constantly working to bring about good out of every situation, out of every heartache, out of every difficulty or disappointment that we may encounter. And he does so in equally in as much a way as he does with every joy and triumph that we experience as his child. No matter where you would turn in your Bible, you will never find that there was a moment when God was not in control. You will never find anywhere in Scripture where God was ever out of touch with his creation. And you will never know in your experience a time in your life when God doesn't know who you are, where you are, and what you are going through. The psalmist reminds us in those verses that we read earlier together, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's why the psalmist went on to say that we will not fear, though the very earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Although its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. God is our refuge and strength. Not was, but is, this very present moment in time. Had Joseph, you remember Joseph from the Old Testament, had Joseph not believed that, he would have crumbled under the emotional and physical pressures of living in captivity in Egypt, being rejected by his family. David, the psalmist, he would have collapsed in fear over the death threats that he received from King Saul had he not believed that God was his refuge and strength. And equally so when he was suffering under the rebellion of his very own son, Absalom. In those circumstances, as in many, many others, God was aware of the need and in control and providing help, hope, peace, strength, and encouragement for his children to continue and to move forward in confidence and certainty. And that is God's promise to you and to me also. Paul knew something of the challenges of living a life for God. And out of his own experiences, remember, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten often, thrown into prison. And yet out of that, he would find encouraging words, helpful words, that he would pass on to his young prodigy Timothy and to us afresh this morning. And this is the second verse that I would leave for your consideration for this year. As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. We live in a world that is filled with rapid change. And so often we're bombarded with new information, new ideas, new products. I confess to you this morning, I am utterly and oftentimes confused by modern technology. And I'm so thankful for a 6-year-old granddaughter and grandson to help me steer my course through these things. But I'm very disturbed by the many trends of our modern society and their opinions and the way that things are conducted these days. We've just come through the Christmas season. And I'm thankful that during that time we were able to remember and rejoice in the familiar events surrounding the birth of Jesus. I'm sure it must have encouraged you afresh to hear Mary say that nothing with God was impossible when she heard from the angel. Maybe you were encouraged when the shepherds were able to say that they had found things just as the angel had told them. Or how that the wise men rejoiced when they saw the star that led them and be encouraged by that. I was particularly encouraged as I began the Christmas time by reading the opening remarks of Luke's gospel. There Luke writes, "I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning." And he wrote his account to the gospel. "So that you may know," that's me, that's you, "so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." Luke chapter 1, verse 3. Can you recall some of the Bible stories that you learned as a child? Or even as an adult? The stories of a loving Savior in a storm-tossed boat with his frightened friends, and how he whispered to the raging storm, "Peace, be still." And how in your own life's experience you proved for yourself how in sovereign power God takes control of every storm that ever threatened you and commanded your personal winds and waves to be still. Perhaps there was a time when you learned how the Savior told you that God cares for even the tiny sparrow, and of how you are much more valuable to him than 1,000 sparrows. And that even though you walk through a dark valley, he would be with you and would never leave you. Oh, how we need to continue in the things that we have learned from God's word. In his word, he has said again through the psalmist, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he'll take care of you." Do you know what else that verse says? He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. You see, nothing has the power to touch our lives without God's express approval. He shields us so that we will not be crushed under the weight of loss or disappointment. And he will use our very circumstances to draw us closer to himself and to teach us more about his faithfulness and love. In God's sovereign hands, the very things that could destroy you and me become the very building blocks of our life's journey. The life of Joseph, whom I referred to earlier, filled with dark, difficult experiences and rejection, and yet the final outcome was so amazing. You know this story well, I don't need to tell you. But listen again to what he said of his brother's rejection and all their actions against him. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Perhaps today you're having a hard time continuing on in your faith as you face some situation beyond your control, or perhaps simply a situation that you fail to really understand. Maybe you've become disillusioned by those around you, or hurt by someone you trusted. Perhaps the apparent lack of success in the work of the gospel has made you feel like giving up. You may even be wearied, tired out in faith by all the pressures of life, of health, or of family. Here again, that message from the psalmist, our refuge, our strength is God. Here, Paul's encouragement, continue. Continue in what you know. Continue to trust him, to wait for him. Perhaps you understand it better in the words of the hymn writer. You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It's no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He'll do for you. You know, it takes honesty to admit that we're ill-equipped to go through life alone, to do so in our own strength, with our limited knowledge and our human reasoning. Sometimes the decisions we make, we question whether they are really wise. The challenges we face may seem like the difficult journeys that we are facing in our lives, trudging the path of illness, or relationship problems, bereavement. Maybe the stress at work is the overriding concern of your heart. Maybe financial difficulty, how to face up to this rising cost of living. Perhaps you're threatened by unemployment. But take heart in this morning, brothers, sisters. Take heart in the truth that the maker of heaven and earth, the one who holds it all together in his hands, it's that God who himself is willing and wanting to help us. He watches over our lives. We are in his safe keeping. And thankfully, the Lord is willing and able to guide us and to let us, lead us, if we will allow him so to do. To fall in with God, to walk along with him, to keep in step on life's journey, we need to follow his leading by regularly spending time in his word and applying all those biblical life principles daily. By studying the Bible, we learn about God's character, but we also learn his plans, and we're instructed in his promises. As we think about Scripture, as we feed our lives, our very souls in it, we develop a closeness to him. As our relationship is deepened with the Lord himself, as we draw close to him, he promises to draw close to us. Some of you will have had that valuable privilege of learning Bible stories and verses of Scripture as a child. You might even remember, as I'm speaking to you now, of the times that you used to sit on your mother's knee or your grandmother's knee, and they told you Bible stories, or perhaps sang hymns or choruses to you. Let me ask you, have you ever forgotten any of those things? I sincerely doubt it. But probably the very first thing you ever learned was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now that's pretty good stuff to learn, isn't it? Know it. It's hard to improve on that truth. Would you agree? It's good stuff to learn and to remember and to apply when you're 2 years old or three, or if you happen to be 23 or 53 or even 73 or more. Is there anything more wonderful to know and to learn that Jesus loves you? Maybe you remember a time when you learned Proverbs 3, verse 5. It was one of those Bible promises that was given to me in my wedding day, just quite recently. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There's another verse perhaps you remember that was faithfully taught to us. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends, passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, those are great lessons from the Word of God. You've been faithfully taught over many years. Continue in what you have learned. And as we do, as we rely on God's faithful promises, we will have all the resources that we need for life and living. All that is needed for folks who are hungry and lost are to be found in these eternal truths. God's Word contains sufficient comfort, hope, and encouragement for every person and every need. He comes to us, our God and Father, at the point of our greatest need. And that's when He ministers His unconditional love and grace into our hearts. And even though the sorrows of life may come, though we meet with fear or loneliness or doubt or unbelief, God is our refuge, our ever-present help. And as we continue in what we've learned of Him, we can be confident about the future because He has a plan for our lives. No matter if we are just beginning life or retired or even just simply tired, God has a plan for you, and that plan is one of hope and promise. And this is my final verse for you to consider for the year. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found of you, says the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. That has been my life verse. And it has seen me through all of the circumstances I faced. 20-odd years ago, when I thought I was passing from this scene of time, when I thought my life was ended and was over and my work for the Lord was finished, He came afresh to me and said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to do you good. When Martin was diagnosed with cancer, I thought that was the end of my world. But He came to me and comforted me once again with that life verse, I know the plans I have for you, plans to do you good, not to do you any harm. When I failed my studies at London Bible College and thought, that's the end, where can I go from here? It was with that same verse God said to me, I know the plans I have for you, plans to do you good and not harm. And I know that God has plans for you here in Fraserburgh, even at this difficult time that you face in vacancy. He has plans to do you good and not any harm, to cause you to prosper. And if you seek Him, you will find Him. If you look with Him wholeheartedly, you will find Him, because He says, I will be found of you. I don't mean that to sound like a lecture to you, but I mean it to be an encouragement to you. The author and Bible teacher Louis Giglio wrote this, and perhaps it's an encouragement as well for us this morning. God's plans for your life, be it an individual or be it as Fraserburgh Baptist Church, God's plans for your life far exceed the circumstances of your life. Think about that. And God has room in His plan for each one of you. No one is excluded. All He asks of you is that you say yes to God's plan. Perhaps this morning, all that I've said seems a bit alien to you. But God had a wonderful plan of salvation in which you were included. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, God has a plan for you. He gave his Son that you might know life in all its fullness. God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't ask you to do anything except say yes to his great plan of salvation. Perhaps this morning, believer, God has been speaking to you, and he's a plan for your life. Perhaps he's asking you to commit to baptism, to be obedient to his word and follow him and show that you belong to him. Perhaps he's even asking you to commit your life to support the work and ministry of the church by entering into membership of the church. God has a plan for each and every one of us, no matter who we are. Listen to what he told us at the end of Matthew's gospel. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. He's called you and me to go into the streets of Fraserburgh with the gospel and make disciples of all men, teaching them the things concerning himself. He's called us as his children. His plan is that we serve one another in love. Every one of us has a role to play. Whatever you do, whatever work you find with your hands, with your heart, with your mind, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working unto and for the Lord. Let me leave you, as time has gone, with the words of a hymn that Anita wrote. God has a plan for you, something only you can do. You're so valuable to him. You are beyond compare, a priceless jewel so very rare. He gave just everything to make you his own. God wants just you. Yes, no one else will do. Listen while he calls you by name. You were in his plan before the world began, and he longs that you live your life for him. Three verses for a new year. Psalm 46, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, Jeremiah 29, 11. May God bless these thoughts to your heart, and to his name be all the praise and glory. Amen. We're going to sing a lovely hymn together that just reminds us of all God has done for us. There is our Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing for doing his will. And may he work in you what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.